Welcome to Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. A Buddha is someone who's awake within the matrix and co-creating with divinity as a soul having a human experience. Each enlightened episode is dedicated to help you level up the energy field of your Merkaba. You can manifest the parallel reality that fits the best version of you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes and does not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Now, let's welcome your host, author Vaughn Galt, and her guest.
Welcome to another podcast episode of Merkaba Chakras. It's Christmas time in 2020, and the gift on top of many people's minds worldwide is wishing for good health and wellness to all. So to answer that Santa wish among many people, I bring you holistic fitness enthusiast Allison Pillow. Now, Allison is a working mom who offers a fabulous YouTube channel and a website going over best practices for simple routines to get you in the healthiest, most fabulous shape that you are destined to be. So with that, Allison, welcome to Merkaba Chakras.
Thank you so much, Vaughn. It's a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. So it's the holidays.
I love it.
So it's that time of the year. So
it is that time of year for sure. Yeah.
So this is the holiday episode, and how I was thinking, how do I close out 2020 going into the holiday season? You know, what is the one thing that most people want this year? And you know what it is? It's good health. Everybody is thinking about good health because of the global pandemic, and everybody's going through coronavirus in different ways, affected at different levels, et cetera, et cetera. So however people navigate through 2020, it's about being healthy. So that is the best thing that I think we can talk about and kind of close out this chapter of the 2020 storm on, is, you know, how do we live and love healthy in 2021? So before we dig into your work and kind of give everybody some tips to be healthy in this new fifth dimensional awareness, can you tell us your story for how you got into this work in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my journey started when I was really young. I started out being a kid who was just loved to, I was very curious, and I just loved to, move. I just loved to experiment with movement. I would take the swing sets off of my metal frame swing set and stand on top of it, you know, and my parents would be like, get down. I'm like, look at me, look what I'm doing, you know? And I just kind of had a natural, I wasn't fearful of it. I just had a natural inclination to just try crazy things, you know? So, and I knew I could do it. Somehow I knew I could do these things. So I literally would like do gymnastics moves without even being taught how to do them, you know? And finally my parents had said, well, we don't want her to get hurt, so we're going to put her in a gymnastics class. And they were like, oh, it'll probably last, you know, a couple weeks, and then she'll get tired of it and want to do something else. Well, I ended up being a gymnast and getting into the competitive team. And I was a gymnast from the age of 5 until 21. I mean, 22, sorry. And so, I did it for a really long time, and it started out being a joy, and then it kind of turned into a job a little bit more towards the end of my career. And, but what I did get from that experience is I definitely learned so much about movement and, developed an eye for also seeing movement and others' movement signatures, kind of how energy moves through a body, basically, and the grace that is within that. So that is, over the years, I've probably been looking at movement for, I would say, the last, I started becoming a coach when I was in my early 20s, and now I'm 48. So I've been, I've been doing it for a long time. So
fabulous. So,
well, thank you.
You look 48.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, that, and part of that is because I've learned, these basic principles of health, and I put those into practice, and it really, it works better than any product you'll buy out there. So that's why I feel like what I offer people is a very easy, simple solution, if they choose to go that way, to lasting health and youthfulness. And so, I ended up, really feeling like I wanted to take this path of becoming a coach, and I wasn't really sure how to go about it. I didn't really want to be a personal trainer. My professors, when I was getting an exercise science degree at Georgia State, they said, well, you should become a personal trainer. And I thought to myself, I don't really want to be a personal trainer. Like, at the time, personal trainers just put people on machines and it just looked boring to me. So I was like, I'm not really sure. I just want to have a chart out and write down, reps and sets. That doesn't seem interesting to me. So I ended up, becoming a gymnastics coach for some time while I finished school. And then towards the end of that, I coached gymnastics a little bit longer, and then decided I actually did want to become a personal trainer. But I had some background in physical therapy too, but I didn't want to just be a regular personal trainer. I actually wanted to find, like you said, I think when we were talking, when you were on my show, you said you wanted to go beyond the basics. And I definitely wanted to go beyond the basics with it. Because I had for some time been looking at, been a gymnast myself for years, been looking at gymnasts move for years as well. And I just wanted to be able to help people move in a more graceful, joyful way, a way that just really is playful and helps people just function better and perform better, And so that was where I was at that time. And that led me to the Czech Institute, which is based out of San Diego, California. And it stands for Corrective Holistic Exercise Kinesiology. I was watching this show, and Paul Cech, who's the guy who started the Institute, he was on there with Gabrielle Reese, and he was showing her these moves. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. I just saw that, and I was like, I want to do that. I want to train athletes. I want to train people who want to be athletes. I want to train people who want to move better, people who don't have any experience at all and just want to, maybe are in pain and want to get out of pain, those kinds of things. So I went in that direction. But what I was missing at the time was the nutritional aspect of it. So I was a young mom, and I went ahead and, I had two kids, and having two children can do to your body as a woman, right? It moves the organs around, and if some of us get diastasis recti, which is a separation of the abdominal area. And so what I learned from that is that that can cause a slowdown in digestion. It can cause your digestion to be in distress and eat just because of the way even your posture is. So, it's called dysbiosis when your stomach sticks out. And if you have, like a weakened abdominal muscle, the muscles in the abdominal are weakened and everything's kind of spills out, and that will create a slowdown in your metabolism and in your digestion.
Allison, I call it the mama pooch.
That's right. That's what it is. It's the mama pooch.
Mama pooch.
Yeah, right. And I was just like, for so long, I was like, oh, I can't look at my mama pooch. It just, I was like, oh, I don't like how this looks. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. I before I had my two children, I love my children. and my husband as well. But before I had the kids, I would wear, you know, in summertime, I always wore one piece swimming suits, but I would wear a high cut swimming suit.
Yeah.
With the mama pooch, you can't wear the high cut anymore.
I know, it's gotta, right? Yeah.
And so now, because the high cut will always make you a gal like myself, who's not as tall, look
right?
taller.
I'm the same way. Yeah. Exactly.
It kind of gives you kind of that, like a little bit more height.
A little bit more with a leg height. Yeah.
A little
yeah.
more leg height. So you'll look yeah. taller on the beach.
I like that.
Tricks of the trade. But anyways, that's that trick right. was no more of a trade for me. So I have the mama pooch, and it has been a struggle, and it doesn't,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, or how high your energy, you're still in the body, and you still have body things to work with.
Exactly.
So let me ask you this,
yeah.
All the stuff that you were, you know, going into, because, you know, you distinguished yourself initially away from, I'm not the normal fitness coach, instructor, etc., the ABC, all that kind of stuff. You want to go beyond the basics and have a more kind of full holistic approach to overall wellness, because you know, everything factors into how well this vessel that our souls incarnate and live through, how well it functions. So what is holistic fitness? Can you explain what holistic fitness and what makes that different from a normal fitness trainer?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it leads, well, where I was going definitely leads me into that, because it's more looking at the person, and more trainers are now doing this. I think they're incorporating some nutrition in with the training, but for the most part, it's really about learning how to bridge the gap between your physical and your energetic, right? Because again, it's like you can do all the diets that you want to do and follow protocols and restrict food and do all these things, but if you're not happy, if you're not joyful in what you're doing, if it doesn't resonate with your inner child, all that stuff, then it's just not going to be sustainable, right? And it's and so no matter what you do, the energy of it is not going to match up to what you're trying to do physically, right? So to me, that's what holistic fitness is. It's like getting those all aligned, right? Getting the physical and the energetic aligned together, learning how they work, how they interplay, and really just approaching it practically with practical skills to bring them together. And to be able to manage them better, because it's actually not something that we've been taught until now, is how to manage, how important managing our energy, like our subtle energy body is what I call it, with our physical body, right? And you certainly don't get that from the medical industry. So, you know, right. probably more so from like the alternative medicine.
Right. People. I have noticed that. I have... You know, I had a fitness trainer I had a girlfriend who really wanted to lose a set number of weight for some kind of event. And so she was able to get kind of a promotional rate if she was able to bring a friend with her.
Yeah.
And so she brought me with her, and I didn't really have a goal. I was just doing it just to hang out and have fun and get some exercise, get some activity going instead of being sedentary. And it was interesting because we worked at the same type of job, mm-hmm. we do the same thing, we had literally the same routine, and the fitness instructor put us on the exact same regimen. However, I was just kind of, you know, kind of letting, working with the flow and just kind of rolling with it, where, and not really having a lot of stress in my life, you know, channeling the stress out, having pretty much kind of a light energetic load. Whereas my friend at the time, she was chronically stressed, really upset about things, lots of dense issues in her life that she was working with. And for me, the excess of weight just kind of It's almost like the very next moment or very
that
next
makes
day,
sense.
I was like 10 pounds lighter. I was like, well, how did that happen? I don't know. And she didn't lose that much. She lost maybe a couple of pounds, and she was so upset because she worked so much harder than I did.
Yeah,
she worked
right.
so much harder than all the other people in the class did. And she ate even better than everybody else. And it didn't come off very easily. But then we kind of addressed some of the issues, and she worked on some of those dense issues in her life. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, things just started shedding off much faster.
Right.
And she was having more fun. So I think there is, it's almost like if you have two cancer patients both going through the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and the charts are very much the same, but one is having a more more light positive approach to it, whereas somebody else is having more kind of a negative approach to it and kind
right.
of putting a lot of resistance on the way they feel about the therapy. They've already found this in science that the mm-hmm. cancer patient that is doing the art therapy, being positive, watching and listening to happy, healthy things, is recovering faster, quicker, and better than the alternative. So is it the same? Is that
it's the same principle. Yeah, because
so
your cells are your cells are responding to the messages that you're giving them. And the other part of it is how science also kind of backs that up is that, you know, you have your sympathetic and your parasympathetic nervous system. There's two parts to your parasympathetic. There's a facade kind of part, and then there's a kind of part that's like digest and rest and digest, I think is what it's called. And so, those are the kind of, you want to be in parasympathetic a lot of times, right? You don't want to be in sympathetic all the time. You might want to be in it for a short time. Like if you're having a hard workout, that's fine. But then you want to bring it back down to balance again. So if you're always in that sympathetic mode, you know, you're going to have a hard time regenerating, healing, having any energy for your immunity to work better too. And as well as, you know, just gaining muscle and shaping your body up differently, mm-hmm. because shaping your body is all about regeneration. So really what we're doing when we're working out is we're breaking muscle down and then it's regenerating. So it's really, a lot of it is the rest and recovery routine that's super important, right? So if you're always under stress, you're not going to also digest your food well. And so you want to assimilate the nutrients, and nutrients aren't going to get to the tissues. It's just, it's kind of a whole cascade of things there. So, you know, my recommendation, this is what I work with my clients on. We get clear on where we are. We do an assessment. We get clear on our values, our personal values, what is important to us. And then, you know, learn how to, you know, do the skill, learn the skills that you need to get your nervous system back on track, right? To start feeling calm most of the time and grounded in your body instead of anxious all the time. And this is becoming a huge issue, especially now with coronavirus and you know, it's really like an underlying stress that everybody, many people are experiencing.
Right, the COVID-15.
Yeah, and that's why people are gaining weight. Exactly, because there's this, it's funny, my friend gave me this analogy and
like
I thought it was really good.
It's like we're all going through our freshman year all over again in college.
Exactly, that's what they call it, the COVID-15, right? Exactly, that's so true. Except for in college, you were having fun, and this you're not. But you know, he said basically it's like if you were to, you know, you may think, okay, I'm not really stressed out. I'm at home all the time. You know, I've got, a pretty good life. Nothing's really wrong. But at the same time, there is I don't know what it's like where you live, Vaughn, but like where I live, like people, you know, everybody's wearing masks outside. People are turning their head to you when they see you. You know, it's just kind of a weird time where like the social aspect of life is missing. And I think that is a stress for many people too. So again, it's like almost like being in Vietnam and having all these bullets fly by your head and you're trying to meditate, right? So it's like you can't really...
That's a challenge.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
How can you be peaceful?
Exactly.
In time of unrest.
So, yeah. So it all starts with grounding yourself. And I help people do that through both nutrition and fitness. Those are your basics. Those are your foundations. You have to be able to do that in order to be spiritual in a way, because it's really, really hard to navigate the energetic body without grounding the physical first. And so I think that's really important to know.
Right, right. And in terms of like grounding the physical, I mean, because what you've touched on in terms of grounding the physical is finding a way to navigate and find your inner bliss while the world is not, quote, quote, blissful at the time. Because it's always easy to be blissful and zen and kind of like calm when everything's hunky-dory.
Exactly. All right. This is the challenge we're in right
now,
right?
This is the challenge. But when things aren't hunky-dory, that's when your true nature and your true beingness is necessary.
So that's when the rubber hits the road, so to speak.
I found this very very, very interesting too, because I remember when coronavirus actually started going early in 2020 and the lockdowns were happening in the United States, all of a sudden, so many, quote, metaphysical, spiritual people were just in panic mode.
Yeah.
They were thinking it was going to be Armageddon. Everything that they've been talking about in their whole career just shot out the window. And I was like, get a grip on yourself, people. What happened to consciousness?
I know. Well, that's when you don't have the groundedness, right? In your values.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like you're failing the test.
Yes.
So if you're failing the test and you're the one exhibiting, the grounding for people who are, you know, trying to mirror and kind of look to you as, you know, kind of like children when everything is not exactly perfect, to look to the parents to kind of gauge how should I be? Should I be worried or should I not be worried?
Right.
And that's what I saw. No worries, that's what I saw as well.
I forgot to turn this off.
That's what I noticed as well, is that it is in times that aren't perfect that the essence of people come through. And it is those times where what you be needs to come forward. You need to ground yourself.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. What are the recommendations? Like you said that food is one of the ways in which food and exercise is one of the ways in which you can kind of ground yourself and kind of keep a healthy equilibrium with your body at times of seeming chaos, because it's so easy to just sit in front of a box of donuts all the time and binge Netflix.
Yeah, but how do you feel? You know, it's again, like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, you can do that, and that's fine. But it's like, is that serving you anymore? What do you want to be? You know, calm and grounded, and do you want to feel good in your body? You know, it's about really bringing the joy into it, because if you're not feeling, honestly, I personally, if I don't feel good in my body, I'm not good to anybody, right? I just don't feel like I can be a good coach, a good mom. It is my top priority to feel good in my body every day. I want to wake up, have energy, ready to start the day. You know, I want to be able to serve others and just have fun, you know? And so in order to do that, I have to have energy. I have to be rested. I have to have eaten, have to manage my blood sugar, because that's one of the biggest things for really staying calm and grounded with your food, is actually managing blood sugar properly. And then you have to really, these are the basics, just have good food quality. And what does that mean, right?
What are the recommendations that for food that works best for different body types and lifestyle? Is there like a certain is there a certain food recommendation for certain lifestyles and for certain body types, or is it a one size fits all kind of thing? I know. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's a great question, because really in the beginning, it's kind of, I would say the two biggest things you can do are really focus on food quality and blood sugar regulation. If you're not doing those two things, then anything else you do isn't really going to matter. So the food quality is, of course, you know, clean organic meats, grass-fed beef, wild-caught seafood, organic chicken. You know, any of your meats need to be clean, right? What does that mean? That means that they're not eating, GMO corn and soy. They're eating either grass from the ground. They're eating, you know, what they're supposed to be eating as animals. Okay. And if they are eating, some kind of grain, it's organic, at least at the very least. Right.
Well, let me ask you this. How about people who can't afford to go non-GMO organic? Cause when I was a kid, when you were a kid, there was no such thing as GMO organic. There was no different. It was just food. And it was all just natural. But now all of a sudden we decided to make designer foods. And so now we're paying more for natural organic and cheaper for designer foods or GMO or modified foods. So that's cheaper. So how do people who can't afford the organic stuff, how can they supplement? What are some of the things that they could do to kind of get more of the holistic food into their plate?
I would say, first of all, it's not cheaper. It's not cheaper to buy non-organic food because you're paying for it in taxes anyway. So they're subsidizing these foods, right? So you're actually paying for it. You just not right away. You don't see it when you're buying the food. So
explain that. Cause I don't think anybody knows that.
Yeah. So I might not do it justice, but Eugene Trufkin wrote a book, called Anti-Factory Farm Shopping Guide, I think is what it's called. And he's been on my show before, and how he explained it was that farmers, get subsidized. They get these, some of these farmers that work for companies like, for some of the companies that do the GMO kind of, feedlot animals, factory farm, basically animals, they get subsidized from the public, right? From our tax money. They get extra money to do that. So they're getting paid to give us crappy food, right?
Why is that? Why?
That's a good question. I'm really not sure. I think it's just that they want to have, I think originally maybe there was an incentive to be able to give, more people food that was affordable. Right.
Okay.
But again, it's not really, it doesn't pan out, right? Because we're still paying for it in a different way. So, go ahead.
Yeah, they've done studies on modified foods that it actually is not as nutritious.
Yeah,
and so, also that it contributes to more I don't know what the word is, but more fat on your
inflammation.
Body.
Inflammation.
Yeah. And there's been lots of studies on that modified foods may seem cheaper.
Yes.
But, it's actually causing long-term inflammation and less nutrition.
Yes. You're not actually absorbing the nutrients that you're getting.
The turkey, for example, holiday season,
right?
We're going to eat a lot of turkey. The turkey might look like a big butterball. But in terms of nutrition, the skinnier turkey that is organic actually has as much, if not more, nutrition than the big butterball that is like much, much heftier.
Well, it's probably got more water in it too,
Yeah.
The turkey that's bigger, right? It doesn't have as much nutrients. It's more water. That's why it looks bigger too. But
so it's inflated too.
It's inflated. It's inflamed. You're eating something that's inflamed.
So the food is inflamed and then we're going to eat it, and then it's going to also, I'm not sure if the word is inflame or.
Well, you get sick over time, right? You either get like some kind of food allergy over time. There's some kind of, a lot of people, come up with autoimmune issues later from that they've been kind of proving through science that a lot of these, you know, because it's long-term inflammation. So what does that train your body to do? It's like it trains your body to create autoimmunity, right? And so that's not good, right? So therefore you're going to have to be paying more in medical costs too. So it's like, to me, you don't really get a lot of nutrition from that food. And, you know, you end up getting long-term health issues. So the cost is like, I mean, it's about the same, really. And you're getting a higher, if you go organic, you're getting a higher quality food. And honestly, a lot of times, like I'll go and look at some of the crappier food that's being sold, some of the junk food and stuff. And it's pretty expensive. I'm like surprised because I never buy it. But I'm just like always surprised at how expensive it is, because I'm always in my mind thinking, oh, sure, that's cheaper. That's why people are buying it. But it's actually not a lot of times. And, you know, it's just that's the message in people's minds, that that's something that's cheaper. Right. And it's, you know, so if you were to shop in a way that's with more awareness, you can do it in a way that's, you know, where you can save money. I mean, like Trader Joe's has a lot of options for organic and those kind of things.
It's expensive too. For
do you think so? Really? Yeah.
For some,
I mean, there's food stamps. It also, you can use food stamps at farmers markets as well. I mean, that's a thing.
Farmers markets is really good too.
Yeah, I would say, you know, farmers markets are great because you're dealing directly with the farmer there, you know, and that's always ideal.
But I'm growing your own food.
That is top notch right there. Yeah, if you can grow your own food, that's even better. We lived off of our vegetables this summer because we just grew everything in our backyard, right?
And then
we didn't have to buy any.
You
can can them too, and those kind of things. You just learn how to do it, you know. But you can buy a whole cow, you know, and store it in your freezer if you have a freezer, you know. And that's also a thing.
My parents did that growing up. Yeah, my friends are like, why would your parents buy a whole cow and then stock it away? They thought it was, and I was like, I don't know. Americans do funny things.
Yeah.
But I get it. But I get it because that is there's a lot of cost savings and obviously.
Yeah. Well, if you were to actually pay attention to it, you know, you probably would be maybe discovering you're spending more going out to fast food restaurants, you know, or, you know, maybe, you know, there's just a different way to look at it and do it. There's always a way. We're so creative that way.
Oh,
so if high quality food is a priority to you, you're going to figure out a way to do it, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of people that grow food in their yard, even in their balcony, they live in an apartment.
Yeah, exactly.
They start looking at creative ways to grow like a tier system in their balcony, aquatic growing. So there's lots of different
hydroponic
ways.
Hydroponic. Yeah.
So there's lots of different ways. And I really see a lot of people, you know, if you can like supplement some of that into your diet, then you're going to cover that cost, and then you're going to kind of eat more of that and less of the modified if you can't afford to go completely organic.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
That's really good to know. So you're either going to eat it now in good health, or you're going to eat it later in bad health.
That's right. So pay for it now or pay for it later. Right.
Wow. That's pretty eye-opening. Now, how does somebody achieve fitness with a sense of purpose? So like, I mean, cause you seem to have a sense of purpose of all this. It's not just to look good and look great in a picture. So.
Well, thank you. Well, I think what I realized was, my personal journey, a little bit of background there is, you know, I became an athlete, but I secretly wanted to be an artist. So I actually, you know, I went that and went into being an athlete to please others in some ways. So I, you know, just something I've realized as an adult, you know, I mean, like, oh, okay. So this is why I ended up here, which is great. I learned so much and I'm doing what I'm doing because of it. And at the same time, I now ask myself, who am I doing this for? Right. Before, when I do fitness, it was about performance. It was about, getting attention. It was about, you know, meeting others' expectations or needs, you know, and that just isn't going to cut it for me anymore. That's not passionate for me. That's not what speaks to my heart. So now my sense of purpose as it relates to fitness is fun, is joy, is bliss. What brings, what lights me up, you know? Those are the questions that I ask for myself. And also, I'm also asking myself, like, who am I doing this for? So everybody who's listening to this just needs to ask themselves, as it relates to any kind of health regimen you're doing, diet, fitness, who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for yourself? You're on the right track, right?
Mm-hmm. Really good, really good. Now, let me ask you this. What are some easy exercises or meditation techniques that people can use to relieve instant anxiety? Because instant anxiety is something that a lot of people are experiencing right now because of the pandemic and just different things going on in current affairs or in their lives. So, you know, I understand it. Well,
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
How do, you know, what are some quick meditation or exercises that you recommend people do to kind of, if they feel that panic attack or they feel that instant anxiety about something that sets them off, what's the best way to address that?
I would say connect with your breath first and foremost, right? Feel into your body. If you're not grounded in your body, if you're out of your body, that's when we're most anxious, right? So the best way to get back into your body is to place your hands on your heart, take a deep breath, and just feel into your heart. And that will instantly get you back in your body, right? It calms. Even just placing my hand here, I feel much calmer because you're connecting with your heart. When we're in our head, everything's up here. It's all about thinking. You're not connecting down here. You're not connecting with your heart. And so that puts us in a state of stress because, again, we're disconnected, right? And that, I think, is the hardest challenge for most people, is to be in their bodies and know how to be in their bodies. And that's a lot of what I teach as well. So, you know, some techniques, I definitely love meditation, and I recommend my clients do a clearing meditation, but also I think
What's
a lot can be done
meditation that you do.
I have a coach. Yeah. I have a coach that taught me a technique where, she taught me how to, you know, bring the light in through the crown and bring it all the way through the body. And what you can do is kind of bring it into each chakra.
Can you share that with us really quick? So maybe some people might want to do that before they work out to kind of get into that space.
Yeah. So I just meditate on, this light, this white light coming down from the sky. And actually, before I even do that, I actually connect to it. So I connect to the light. And so I'll just share with you what I visualize. I visualize myself as like one of those cartoon superheroes going up to this step to the sky, flying up to the sky and connecting that way. Like, kind of like, I don't know, there was a Super Friends show that had something like that where this twins did that. And so connect down, it hit, you know, comes down to my crown, connects into me. And you know, I start with my crown, clearing that out, and then I go into my head, into my ears, into my nose, mouth, throat, into, you know, hitting all the chakras, filling them up with light until I get to my feet. And then I imagine something, a cord coming down and grounding deep within the earth, and then a crystal, and whatever color that crystal is whatever it is, you know. So sometimes I imagine it to be blue, sometimes I imagine it to be pink, and then you're wrapping your cord around the crystal because you're grounding yourself into the earth, and then you're also letting that stuff, anything that isn't serving you, down into the earth. And then the earth is sending her energy back up through your body and filling it back in with light, right? And then you're coming back in to connect with the higher part. So that, in a nutshell, is what I'm doing. And then I expand my energy out. I kind of do it in phases where I expand it out past my body, expand it out past my home, expanded out past my city and expanded out past the country and then the planet. And then even beyond that, if I want to. So that way, when you're expanding your energy, and these are all practical strategies for really, using energy to be able to step into a new body, if that's what you wish to do, if you want to create a different body, you have to create a new energy. Otherwise, you'll just gain the weight back, right? So we're expanding the energy so that I am bigger than any situation I come across, any person, any problem. My energy is bigger than that. It's not a thing, right? So I'm not making myself small to fit into that situation. I'm expanding my energy out so I am bigger than that situation, if that makes sense. So, and then making also space for the new opportunities that are going to come in, right?
Yes. I like that. Yeah. That's a really good, I'm, as you were saying that, I was doing it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. It's one of my favorite meditations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I always say that everybody is an energy field. So how big of an energy field do you want to be?
It's infinite.
It's infinite. And I love that. And I love that technique that you just shared, to kind of clear your space about feeling anxiety and instant panic if it comes through.
Yeah.
And anything triggers it. I love that. Just feel the expansion of your Merkaba, is what you're saying. The expansion of your Merkaba.
Exactly.
And I love how in that technique that you share, you tied it into the oneness with earth, with everyone, with everything in creation. So that was beautiful.
And I have to give my coach credit for that. She taught me that. So her name is Hannah Beer. She really taught me how to use energy practically to, in a very practical way. I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. Great. Thank you so much. Because now I can use it to actually shape my reality, right? And we can all do this. It's accessible to everybody. And that's what I love about it, is that you don't have to, you know, be stuck in a paradigm of you don't feel like you can change anything. Like, you can. It's just about, like, you haven't thought about it a different way yet, you know? And so, you know, that's another reason why I, put people through movements, movement sequences in the beginning too, to get their mind out of it, because, taking the mind out of it gets you into your body, and your body knows, you know, what to do. It has its own movement signature. And then we can kind of step into your intuition without overthinking it. So that's another approach I like to help people with, and grounding themselves as well.
That's really good. Now, do you use any kind of like image, like, you know, projection techniques where they can kind of visualize themselves in whatever outcome that they're working on? Because I've seen this as well. Well, let's say somebody loses 150 pounds. Okay. It's wonderful. But in their mind, they still see themselves as the 150-pound overweight person.
Exactly.
And so they never really give themselves full credit for, and to step into that new person that they have become right in front of them. So do you do anything of that kind of technique to help people work to step into their new selves?
Yeah, I think that... that's a great question, actually. I think, again, it's changing your energy, right? So we're kind of letting go of the energy that was around the person that was before. Just like weight, it's baggage. Energy can be baggage too, and it can present itself and manifest itself as extra weight, right? And that's just how, you know, it works. That's the physical is a manifestation most times of your energetic, you know, a lot of times. And so, so I think, yes, that's very important to be able to get clear with that and step into a new type of energy, whether it's self-worth, whether it's confidence, whether it's strength, whatever you need, you know, that you can get from, you know, feeling that through exercise, feeling that through, meditation and those kinds of things. But, I think that, changing the energy would be one of the most important things, but also, taking action, inspired action, like on a consistent basis. Like if someone, you know, weight loss, especially, that's going to be something that's going to take time, right? Usually you're going to have to be in there for the long game. So, you have to have, you know, a long-term plan for that and take and continue to take inspired action that's fun for you, that you're enjoying, right? So again, if you lose the weight and you did it doing something you really don't enjoy, that was really hard, that was very restrictive, that you didn't enjoy one lick of, you probably, you know, you're not going to probably do that again or stick with it, right? So yeah, it's got to be something that's fun. Yeah. Yeah, so totally.
From that yo-yo. Now, let me ask you this. How do, because you have a lot of background in energy healing and you incorporating that into the wellness aspect of fitness. So how do you use your background in energy healing to prep the space of your clients, either remotely or in person, so that they can have the best session?
Yeah. So I
clean this space.
First and foremost, I have to clean my own energy. So I come to the table clear and grounded and aligned. So I'm coming there, you know, to this session, with my energy aligned. I am clear. I'm a clear vessel for, you know, for them. I'm not thinking about other things while I'm in the session with them, right? I'm totally present with them. And that's my job. So the more present I am with them, the more grounded they're going to feel. Because if I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my phone, or if they can feel that I'm not paying attention to them, that's going to make them more anxious, right? So that's one thing, just as a trainer, you know, that's very important. But also, you know, you can clear their space too. So as a coach, you know, again, you can use that white waterfall technique of thinking about light coming down and enveloping the building that you're in. And if you're on a screen, you can bring it into the screen and bring it into their room as well. And if you have permission from them to clear them, then you can clear them as well, you know? And if they're your client, that you probably have gotten permission already for that. So, you know, just imagining again, like I talked about earlier with that meditation, you can just do a quick little white, you know, light waterfall, filling the body, clearing everything out, grounding. And yeah, that's pretty much it. It's real simple. I like to make it simple. I don't like to make it complicated anymore, because it's not fun for me when I make it complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Simple is always better. More complicated, the more you lose the message and the point, and then ego walks in.
Yeah. I meant to add on. I knew I was going to had something else to add to that other question that you had about weight loss and the visualizing. Cause I'm writing a book, and this is part of what I write about in the book too. I'll release the title.
Give us a teaser. We'll do another book interview when it comes out.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah. So it's just everything I learned and how to bring, but a lot of what we talk about, you know, bridging the physical and the energetic, but it goes a lot deeper, and you know, what health really means and our definition of it and like what it could mean. But really it's about like learning how to unconditionally love yourself. Right. In some ways. And so with that, you know, one thing I used to do is visualize when I was a gymnast. This is so actually important. Like I used to visualize myself doing this trick that, you know, a skill until I could do it. I would visualize a, you know, an Olympic gymnast doing it until I could put myself in her place. And then I would be able to do it then, right? Because I would have visualized it so many times, and then I believed I could do it. So it's the same thing with like what you're talking about with weight loss, or if someone has some kind of a goal for higher performance sports, or even just to get out of pain, you know, because that can be pretty kind of a learned helplessness state in itself. But really, what I have people do both in my online course and then also personally, like when we work one-on-one together, we do kind of a old fashioned, you can either do an old fashioned vision board or something on Pinterest. And I have them put all these pictures together to embody the energy. It's about the energy that they want to embody, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily something, I mean, if they choose to, that's fine, but it's not necessarily something about like, okay, this is what society tells you health and beauty looks like. That's not what it's about. It's what you feel like. You're defining it for yourself, right? You're creating it because, you know, after all, that's what we're doing. We're creating our life. We're creating our bodies, right?
Yeah,
on a daily basis.
Right.
Yeah.
This whole thing is like the Aboriginals of Australia would say that we're the dream makers.
Yeah.
You know? So we're this whole reality. This is the dream world.
That's
right. And the spirit world is the real world. And it's I know because I do hypnosis with my clients and their six senses. Oftentimes when they go in, it seems like a dream, but the more they go in and focus into the vision that they're seeing in under hypnosis, that starts feeling more real. And then the reality where I'm sitting in the room or I'm talking over a Zoom call, giving them a quantum hypnosis session, they call it BQH for the online version, just technicality.
Right.
But anyways, while they're doing it, and then they come out and they're like, oh my goodness, I got so far into my consciousness and my psyche in the hypnosis vision that felt more real than this.
Yeah.
So it really is like wherever you focus on. So what I found interesting, and I was watching and going through some of your materials on your website, is that yes, you go into fitness, everybody can do a push-up, they can do a crunch, et cetera, et cetera. But the value is in that reprogramming of how you see yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of what I found when it comes to, as a consumer looking for fitness trainers, et cetera, is it's really about reprogramming kind of how do you see yourself. Are you all, like I said earlier, like, are you always going to continue to see yourself as 150 pounds overweight,
right,
even if you've already gotten fit, or you just work yourself back to that, or, you know, whatever the thing is. So it's all about just reprogram, breaking down the conditioning.
Yes, exactly.
That brought you to that point. So let me ask you this. So you offer one-on-one training and you also offer it as an online fitness course. And right now during the pandemic, and for a lot of people, that's still very, very top of mind. So can you tell everyone what they can expect from your online offerings?
Yeah, so right now I'm offering the Create Your Food Foundation course online. You can buy that as a self-study course and just go through it on your own. There's also a Facebook group that you can be a part of there. It's right now, it's very cheap. It's $47 because I wanted to give everybody, you know, a really something that was doable. I want to give everybody opportunity to do this until, you know, before the next year, because I know it's been a hard year for everybody. And I would really love to see people
get rid of the COVID-15.
Yes. I'd really love to see people trust in their health again, you know, trust their bodies again. This is kind of what I'm teaching. This is what I'm teaching here. I'm helping you create a relationship with yourself, because that's ultimately what it's about. Right. So, so I offer that. We go through the whole thing. It's not just, I mean, it is about food, really the basics of eating, like how you create that relationship with food, but also getting clear on your values, helping your nervous system calm down, and also go through circulation and movement in there, because I feel like that's essential for digestion. And then giving you, you know, some foods and advice on kind of foods you could use seasonally too, because there's certain nutritional deficiencies that can happen each season as well that we need to pay attention to.
Which ones are the most common ones? Is it a lack of vitamin? I know for some areas it's a lack of vitamin D. For some people, it's
definitely vitamin D.
I
mean, yeah, so when we have low light in you and I's area, the Pacific Northwest, like we have these days of darkness for the most part. Definitely not getting vitamin D, but we're also not getting a lot of vitamin A, which is really important for synthesizing thyroid hormone. Thyroid hormone needs, or your liver needs that
in
order to convert it.
What kind of foods have vitamin A?
It, Actually, oysters have vitamin A, which oysters. I love to eat.
Yeah. Oysters and wine.
You're like,
I love
if
that.
You just want, exactly, if you just want a quick dose of vitamin A, go for the oysters. Also liver. So I like to do a pate, and really you know, you need to just all do those like as needed or once a week for something like that. And that should be good unless, you know, you're feeling like you need more, but those are my go-tos for, I really, because if I start feeling not great, I'm like, oh, okay, I need more vitamin A. This is what's going on. So I have some oysters or have some, you know, liver, and then I feel instantly better. I'm like, okay, that's what was going on. So, and also you can do light therapy, you know, use red light and that kind of thing in the wintertime or sauna, you know, which is really great for your thyroid. So anytime, any way you can really support your thyroid, especially women in the wintertime, because it's dark, you know, those are the ways nutritionally. And of course, you know, with light therapy. But yeah, those are the two top ones that I would recommend.
And where can they get light therapy? Cause I, you know,
yeah,
I've looked into that as well. Do you know where they can get light therapy? Is it something that you can like order? And
yeah, well, the red lights, you can get a wall of red lights, or you can get a single red light and just sit under it at your desk or, you know, during the day, the red light. Or we have a little wall of them that we got on Etsy. And so there's like, there's a red light and then a heat light and then a red light and a heat light kind of alternates. So we actually took this grow room and then like put like a, made it into a sauna. So we have this heater
kind of like and photon therapy.
Yes, exactly. So I love that in the wintertime when I use it, it just instantly makes me feel like so uplifted. And so again, like depression, anxiety, these things happen a lot more in the wintertime. We have lower immunity in the wintertime. It's simply because we're not getting as much light, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And so it's stressful on the body in that way, right?
Yeah, right. They've already proven it in science that basically when we're consuming foods, all we're doing is consuming light.
Yeah, so I like that. Yeah.
They've proven it in science.
That makes sense.
The foods that have the most nutrition are the ones that have more light in it. The foods that have less nutrition, like the modified foods that we were talking about early, have less light in it. Less life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's all we're doing is feeding ourselves light. So the photon therapy is actually an emerging science in medicine that they're researching and trying to find ways to kind of include photon therapy or light therapy. So, you know,
that's cool.
Maybe in the near future, you know, when we go to doctors, it's going to be like, I'm going to go to my spa.
Yeah, I think that's what it will be. It'll be about light and sound. And those light two things will be the healing modalities probably for the most part. But yeah, I mean, I think that hopefully we're going in that direction. That's way easier than what we're doing now, right? I mean, it's more pleasurable.
I'm all about it. I love it. Yeah. Like, you know, I love the easy way. So.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll try it. I love the easy stuff. Okay. So now here's the thing. Now that you're on a you're not a regular fitness trainer. So we've established that. And you also provide your clients and audience an insightful interview to explore wonders about consciousness and metaphysics in your podcast. You have a wonderful podcast, and I was on it as well.
Yes.
And a lot of the people that you bring in will explore concepts of consciousness and, you know, how to manifest and all these different wonderful metaphysical topics that, like you said in the beginning of the show, it's a holistic approach to your overall life. It's not just go work out and stomp on the treadmill or, you know, but you can eat crappy food or junk food or whatever, or you can, you know, live a very stressful life, it's not going to function well. So in your podcast, Integrate Yourself, what kind of topics can people expect to see and explore when they listen to that?
Well, yeah, I you know, I think with what you said, just to piggyback on that, it's also about awareness. It's a deeper level of awareness, and holistic fitness is also about understanding the nuance within that, right? So this is why I started the show, because I really wanted to, first of all, dive into it myself, dive into the nuance of health and wellness, because it's so much more than what we really learn about, like we learn about mostly the basics, but we're not learning about all the other stuff, the moving parts that are going on. So I wanted to bring experts that would bring something to the table in that regard, and people I could learn from as well, or people I've already learned from, I bring them on the show. And as well as inspired me. So, but it started out, the show started out, I had a co-host a while back when it started. And we, you know, I had this, this desire to just get all this information out of my head because I'd been doing all this research on hormones and nutrition for a long time. And I just wanted to share it with people because I felt like it was something that could really help people. And so that's how I started the show. So the first, like, I don't know how many, the first stretch of episodes is a lot about nutrition. And so if you want to learn more about nutrition science, it's really interesting, you know, stuff about how it all works together and how you can balance hormones and that kind of thing. But as I progressed there, I just needed to do more. I wanted to go beyond just nutrition, you know, and fitness, and start talking about things that were, you know, more at play that we don't really get to talk about. And so I kind of have gone off in many other directions, but that's just because it's my passion, and it's something I have fun and love to do. So, you know, I don't know. It's wherever it takes me, really, at this point. It's just kind of intuitive. So it's always a surprise.
Yeah. I love that. Because I was listening to some of the podcast episodes, and I love the different topics. Because of course I love metaphysics, and you know, I know, as you know, everything is spiritual. Your body, your mind, yeah, your heart, everything is spiritual. The holographic reality is spiritual. It's all based on your consciousness.
Yeah.
And so it's a big integrated holistic approach to everything. So right. you can't just section out certain things and then avoid other things, because it all plays together in one, you know, perfect one perfect mandala, like I typically say.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Do you
hold on 1 second, Vaughn? Just okay. 1 second. I don't want my dog to keep barking. Hold on.
Okay. So what I, you know, lots and lots of really good nuggets of information for people to explore. And I know we're not going to get into your fifth dimension of fitness and all the different ways that you can kind of live and love in these higher dimensions in one episode. So this is just kind of a teaser. Go to Allison's website and materials for more information. But, you know, what I wanted to know is, do you have a last message that you want to leave people all over the world as they come out of the coronavirus pandemic together into better horizons in the near future? What's your last message for people?
Yeah, I'd say my last message is stop putting yourself on the back burner. Okay, so stop we just can't do that anymore, right? We really have to. We're at the point of no return where we have to step up and do what it takes to thrive as a society, I think. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to keep downwardly spiraling. I just have this desire to help people understand more about their bodies and learn how to trust their bodies and know more about how to take control practically of the health, and that it's not that complicated. And I think if we all learn that we would feel so empowered about the future and not get so afraid when something like this crops up. You know, and that's what the 5D is all about. You know, it is, if that's what you want to move into, you have to get on board with that, you know, and like, just learn all the things that you don't know or that you're curious about. Stop like making it a mystery, you know. Hire somebody that will help you, take you through the process if that's what you need. But I say, you know, just make it make yourself a priority. And that's what I talk a lot. That's what I'm going to be writing about, or am writing about a lot in my book, is like, how can we start, like, what's the value in giving yourself interest? If you can't give yourself interest, and again, this is really just, I'm being totally blunt here. If you can't give yourself interest or pay it like an hour of attention to it, you know, your body is going to be like, what if you did that like to your kid, or what if you did that to your plants? You know, you just ignored them every day, or you talked bad to them, criticized them. didn't give them the time of day, looked at your phone when you're around them. You know, you're doing that to your body. Your body is responding to you this way. So let's start thinking about our bodies as this beautiful vehicle that we're traveling through this, you know, earth plane on, you know, and know that it's a living thing, right? And so it's going to respond to everything that we give it in whatever way we're giving it. So if we can understand that a little bit better, I think we can get more grateful, find more joy in the process, get to know ourselves better. And then so other people's projections of how they're experiencing the world is not influencing us all in such a huge way, right? We've got, we're grounded in ourselves, and then that's a much better community to be living in, right?
Most definitely. Great words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Sage
advice for everybody to take with them. You know, Allison, I really have a feeling that, you know, like you said, with all the knowledge that's just kind of pushing to come out into your fifth dimensional fitness and wellness book, I really think that's just going to be the first of many, many books coming out of you to come. So when
you
do get that done, I want to be one of the first people to do your book interview.
You definitely will be, Vaughn. Thank you so much.
I don't have to be the first, but one of the early ones.
Oh, you will. I'll call you first.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So thank you again for an enjoyable interview. I feel like getting on the treadmill after this.
That's exciting. Yeah.
And so for everybody else, for more information about Allison Pilote's offering, go ahead and visit her website, which is pureenergypdx.com.
And I would just want to say one thing about that. The best way you can know about any events that are coming up, I'm going to be doing a group coaching program in March. Get on my newsletter, and that's the best way you'll hear about it. I have an Instagram as well. You can follow that, but the best way to know about events coming up is that. And so just wanted to put that out there. Yeah.
Yeah, those group sessions. So see different people. So thank you kindly to our listeners for listening to another enlightening conversation. Until next time, have fun tuning up the vessel in which your beautiful soul resides in. And of course, happy Hanukkah, happy Diwali, happy Kwanzaa, happy Boxing Day, happy Omisoka, happy winter solstice, and last but not least, Merry Christmas to everyone. Blessings.
Thank you. Yeah, that was wonderful.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. For more information about today's guest, please go to the show description. For more information about Vaughn's metaphysical work, please go to MerkabaChakras.com. The views expressed today are for entertainment purposes and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Don't forget to subscribe for more interviews about the fifth dimension. Until we meet again, blessings.